of today's most eclectic and offbeat record labels got its start producing sessions like this, a kazoo orchestra version of the Led Zeppelin favorite Whole Lotta Love. My guests are the founders of Rhino Records, Harold Bronson and Richard Foose. They started the label from the back room of their Los Angeles record store, making promotional novelty records as Christmas gifts. Rhino is still known for novelty records, but they also release new records by new rockers. And one of their specialties is reissuing out-of-print classic rock and roll in anthologies and greatest hits collections featuring artists such as Jerry Lee Lewis, Little Richard, Ricky Nelson, the Everly Brothers, and Roy Orbison.
Only the lonely know the way I feel tonight. Only the lonely.
Rhino is able to put out these rock and roll classics by leasing the original sessions from record companies. But as these collections become more successful, the record companies are less willing to part with music from their vaults. And the Rhino Boys say this has forced Rhino to be more creative.
We have an incredibly successful series that we released earlier this year called Have a Nice Day, which super hits of the 70s, and they're anthologies of the one-shot, one-hit wonder groups of the 70s that basically are all out of print, and it's been immensely successful.
Back to novelty for a minute and ask you about the Golden Throats collection. And it's basically an anthology of square celebrities singing rock hits. And I don't think that the celebrities who originally recorded these songs thought of this as novelty, but it's wonderful stuff and really very unintentionally hilarious. My favorite on the record is William Shatner singing Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. Whose idea was it to do this record?
Well, one of the things that we like to do is to encourage our employees to sort of join the bandwagon and get involved with some of our projects or to create new projects. And there were a couple of our employees who were in the mailroom who used to kind of top each other in these sort of battle of the worst record you've ever heard. And, you know, one day one would play one and then the next one would try and top it with something from his collection. And many of these records were coincidentally enough done by a lot of these celebrities. So quite often we're intrigued by artifacts, whether they're, you know, movies or in this case records, where the intent is different from the outcome. So in a lot of these cases, they thought that they were making good records or maybe credible at the very least. And in retrospect, when you hear these things, they're quite absurd when you think about that they really thought that they could sing and there's so little emotion or they're so limited in their, their musicality.
Picture yourself in a boat on a river with tangerine trees and marmalade skies. Somebody calls you. You answer quite slowly. A girl with kaleidoscope eyes. Cellophane flowers of yellow and green towering over your head. Look for the girl with the sun in her eyes. And she's gone!
Because you've done so many novelty records over the years, do a lot of nuts show up at your door and offer themselves to you, thinking that they'll make a great record for you?
It is a little frustrating that every time anybody in the industry gets an idea for a novelty record, eventually they'll come to us and say, And the truth is, although we still do novelty records, it's more done in a compilation concept a la Golden Throats.
The main problem is that radio has really changed. And prior to about 20 years ago, novelty records were a dominant part of, the top 30, whether it was Yes, We Have No Bananas to Alan Sherman, Hello Mudda, Hello Fada to Purple People Eater. There was always at least one novelty record, in the top 30. And because radio has taken itself a lot more seriously, it tends not to want to play these records at all or to play them with the consistency that it used to. So therefore, even though Richard and myself feel passionately about a lot of this music, it becomes difficult to release it, because if people don't hear it, then how do they know that they want to buy it?
What are some of the most important differences that have evolved in the record industry since you started putting out records?
I think it would be very difficult to be to have our success again. I don't know if you could slip in and find a niche and be successful. I think it would be even more difficult than it was when we started.
You see, when we started, a lot of our inspiration came from the small upstart labels in the 50s and 60s. These were, generally speaking, music men who, whether they had a vision or not, they had the energy to find local talent and sign them. And there was a plethora of all of these independent labels, whether they be White Whale Records or Kama Sutra Records, and a lot of these strange names. And it was more of an immediate aspect of, when you find the music, you put the band in the studio, and the record was out in maybe a week or two. And as the business has progressed, quite often you have contract negotiations which take, 6 or 7 months. That's not really uncommon. And then especially in the last year with a lot of the major record labels combining with other labels or acquiring others, it's become much more consolidated and much further away from that, instantaneous emotional reaction and response that it used to be. And we feel that it gets further and further away from the emotional aspect of music. It becomes much more corporate. You have more and more business people involved who lack the musical sensitivity that people used to have years ago. And you have fewer of the great record businessmen that you hear about from various eras.
As the music business becomes more corporate, and as rock labels get swallowed up by larger and larger multinationals, does it become more difficult for you to negotiate for the rights that you need to put out records, when you want to license records from another company?
Yes, definitely. It's much more difficult. And especially with the CD boom, all of the companies rediscovered their own archives and have aggressive reissue programs, and a lot of them will admit that we were one of the prime pioneers in showing the industry that there is a lot of life in these older recordings. So we're, I guess, victims of our success.
You have a record coming out soon of Jack Kerouac reading his poems accompanied by Steve Allen, on another record accompanied by, was it Zoot Sims and Al Cohn?
Right.
And these records are real collector's items. They've been very hard to find for people who wanted them, and very expensive to get. I was wondering if it was hard for you to get the rights to these recordings.
That's one we sort of fell into, because last year we purchased the Roulette Records catalog, and the label he was on, which was, I think, Hanover Signature, was included in that purchase. And actually, one of our A&R people who was a Kerouac fan discovered that we owned those recordings. And we went and found, I think, in a tape box marked something completely different. We found the original tapes, and we were very proud to put this out.
There was a little alley in San Francisco, back of the Southern Pacific Station at 3rd and Townsend, In red brick of drowsy, lazy afternoons with everybody at work and offices, in the air you feel the impending rush of their commuter frenzy. As soon they'll be charging en masse from market and Sansom buildings on foot and in buses and all well-dressed through working man Frisco of walk-up truck drivers. And even the poor grime-bemarked third street of lost bums, even Negroes, so hopeless and long left east and meanings of responsibility and try, that now all they do is stand there spitting in the broken glass, sometimes 50 in one afternoon against one wall at 3rd and Howard. Here's all these Milbrae and San Carlos neat-necktied producers and commuters of America and steel civilization rushing by with San Francisco Chronicles and green call bulletins, not even enough time to be disdainful. They've got to catch 130, 132, 134, 136, all the way up to 146, till the time of evening supper in homes of the railroad earth, when high in the sky the magic stars ride above the following hotshot freight trains. It's all in California. It's all a sea. I swim out of it now.
Jack Kerouac with Steve Allen at the piano. Rhino Records will bring out the Kerouac collection later this month. I spoke with the founders of Rhino, Richard Foose and Harold Bronson. This is Fresh Air.